Our focus this morning will continue to be on the things of God. Things that we have sung, things that we have shared. We're continuing our worship. And though it is my honor to look at the things in the Word of God with you, if you'd like to take your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 2 is the study that I'd like to share with you this morning. And though this is my part, your part has not changed. We're continuing to focus on God, to focus on what it is like to be His people. And as we are His people, to recognize the blessings that we have. And I hope this morning that you recognize the blessings that you have by being redeemed. And in that redemption, you recognize the blessings that are there, not only as being part of the people of God, but being blessed to have that special relationship with Him. And you know, it's described in a number of ways in the Scriptures, and perhaps your mind is focused on what it means to be able to have communion with Jesus Christ and to be able to focus on God's love that was demonstrated by Him and to recognize the fact that this redemption places us in a very special relationship. We're part of the body of Christ. And because of that, we're part of the family of God. And we recognize the blessing of abiding in Jesus and producing fruit in that life. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, the focus is on the church as a building, as a physical house. And looking at our special relationship that we have with Him. Because when Jesus came, He said that the church would be built on a rock. And in that rock, we are reminded of God's blessing. David helped us with that, didn't he? Beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 22, after the struggles he had had with the Philistines and even in that relationship with God's king, King Saul, he's the one that said that the Lord is a rock. And in that rock, it brought special relationship. That he recognized that he was his fortress, he was his deliverer. And I think we are reminded even in our day and time with these storms that have inflicted many individuals up the East Coast, that it is a reminder for us when high waters come that God is our rock, a place where we can stand and find refuge. And I hope you're experiencing that today. That God is your fortress. God is your great deliverer. Even though it may not be physical floodwaters that we're struggling with, though we recognize what it's like to lose your home and your possessions. Spiritually right now, it may be that you need to stand on God as your rock. And to find that place of high ground where your faith might endure. And that your endurance might bring glory to God. Here, in this second chapter, his focus is on Jesus as he began saying this in verse 4. Coming to Jesus or coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. As the people of God, this is our time. This is our generation. This is our position in the church. That being part of the people of God, we have made choices. And our choices have led us to see the love of God as demonstrated with Jesus on the cross at Calvary and being our Redeemer, being the perfect Lamb, shedding His blood so that we can have access with God. And so we identify with Christ. We gather together today as believers, as Christians, as those that want to follow the Word of God and be loyal in our allegiance to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in doing that, we find us as a people rejecting things of the world. That's why we were baptized. We recognize we need to put off the old man attached to this world and all of its affection and all of its loyalties and all of the pleasures that are offered up by Satan in this dominion that he controls. And we put off that life and became a new creature. And in doing that, we identified with Christ and we rejected the world. You understand, that's what God called His people to do throughout the generation in the history, whether we're looking at the people of Israel or we're looking at the people that actually heard the message that came with Jesus when He came to the world the first time. The challenge was to reject the world and to accept God's love and God as our rock and God as our refuge and to put our trust in God and His ways. And in doing that, we identified our choice. Either we were people of the world or we're people of God. And so as people of God, let's remind ourselves of this spiritual house that God is building. Sometimes we forget that God is building a house. That's what Peter is doing for these individuals, is to remind them of the house that God has today. When we think about God's house, and you look at the history and His relationship with people of old, that we recognize that people wanted to know that God was among them and that God dwelt among them. Do you recognize that the first time in the Bible that the house of God is mentioned, it's not in the time of the tabernacle. It's not in the time of the temple, though that's when we think about the house of God. God giving instructions to Moses and have him arrange the tabernacle and God giving instructions to David in ways in which he would lay out the blueprint for the temple, though he would not be the one to build it. It would be his son Solomon. And we think about those were the house of God. But it's actually in the book of Genesis when Jacob had that wonderful night of sleep. Remember when he had that stone as a pillar? And his dream that filled up the sky with that staircase going up into heaven and the angels coming down and going up and him being reminded of the promises that his dad had received and that his granddad Abraham had received. And when he woke up, he recognized that he was in the presence of God. And what he says there is, I know I was in the house of God. Well, there wasn't no house there. But what he recognized was, is that God was with him. And so God has always wanted His people to know that He is with them. And as He is with them, it is a reminder of us today that He dwells with us and He's building a house which is identified as the church. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, it's there that Paul said, "You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." That God identifies that there is a place where people can see Him today. And for us in verse 4, He describes us as living stones. And through us that are part of this house of God, built by Jesus and built by the apostles and built by the inspired writers of the Word, we are individuals that come together in this building, in this spiritual house, of being a holy priesthood. And we fit together to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. We honor Him. And we recognize His presence. and we recognize our lives of submission to Him. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, it talking about Moses, the Hebrew writer said, "And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." We are a people today that have the presence of God, just like was recognized. He dwelt in the tabernacle and He dwelt in the temple. But one thing that we need to be mindful of as living stones, as identifying with Christ, is that God dwelt among His people as long as there was faithfulness among His people. And so it's not just the honor, it's not just the privilege of being part of this spiritual house, but we are called to respond in a way in which our lives are committed, our lives are dedicated, our lives are faithful to Him. I think Peter also reminds us that God has many pieces that come together in this building of this spiritual house. I think for all of us, we know in this community that when you drive by a piece of land and you see some concrete block that somebody has dropped off a pretty good load, you see a stack of lumber, somebody's dropped a pretty good load, and you see other variety of supplies that are spread out. That kind of lets you know that that piece of land is fixing to take all of these pieces and put together, and there's going to be a house that a master builder is going to do. You may not remember, but when this land that we're sitting on today was smoothed out and we could see it from across the other side, it wasn't long that concrete block was dropped off and some rafters were dropped off and some supplies. There were people in this community that got excited because they knew that something was going to come together and was going to be new in this community. And for most of those, when they found out it was not a Dollar General, they just got over it. But all those pieces coming together. And that's what the church represents in so many ways. Do you remember when Jesus prayed in His prayer, that incredible Passion Week before He gave His life? It was there that He prayed to God, that the believers might come together and be as one. And in His prayer, He said that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You. That they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. I in them and You in Me, that we may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Did you hear what Jesus is praying there? That the intent is for us as a people, when we come together as one, then the world learns about God. Then the world sees about God. And in that understanding, we demonstrate the love that God had for all men. And what they see in our lives is the love that we have for each other. And in that love we have for each other, it is our mark. It is that distinguishing characteristic of our life that shows individual that we are part of the house of God. And we are united by faith. And we have a common life to where we follow the principles that Jesus laid out. We recognize that in this spiritual house, He is head of the house. And so our commitment is not just to Him, but it is to each other. And as we are committed to each other, we have mutual concern for each other, even though we have different backgrounds, different lives. And in that life, we have a priority to love each other and be at harmony with each other. In Romans 15, verse 5, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." All different pieces coming together as one. And isn't that what we are? not just folks from the Harvest community, but folks from the East Limestone community. Not just folks from the East Limestone community, but we've got a few that kind of have a Tennessee flair to them. We kind of have a few that kind of have a background of going up in Chicago. And we have a few that they're just Golden Eagles, you know, from South Mississippi. All different pieces coming together with one faith, with one goal. And that's to honor God and live lives and encourage each other to continue in love and to share that love that we have and overcome our differences and choose to love. And in doing that, we become one group that's fitted together, part of the church. I think what Peter also reminds us is that God provides a blueprint. And in that blueprint, recognized long ago as Peter repeats scripture that was given, where he said, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, an elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means put to shame." God had a plan for the church long ago. And even though he was dwelling in the tabernacle, even though he was dwelling in the temple, he had a plan to where he would dwell with individuals through the church. But let us remember the blueprint. You remember when Moses received the instructions about the tabernacle? You go back and you look at that and you recall the directions that he gave him. God was incredibly specific on how he wanted that tent to be put together from place to place as it was moved. And where to put the furniture and what the purpose of the furniture was and how it was important when they designated a place that would come to be called the most holy of holies. As part of that tent that only the priest could go in, and they had to be very specific in their manner of worship. And he was so determined that the blueprint be followed that when Aaron's sons made a fire that was different than what God said, that fire consumed them. That meant God was specific about his blueprint. And in the temple, when he had this permanent dwelling place that God didn't ask for, but David wanted to build, again, he gave him directions that were so specific. And when that plan and that blueprint was followed, only then did God come in and demonstrate his glory and the people have confidence he was dwelling there. That kind of tell you that when we're talking about the church today, that God's going to provide the blueprint, that God's going to give us an indication of how he wants the church to abide in a way in which he'll dwell with us, that he will come together and help us understand the importance of following his will as established through Jesus and his message and established through the apostles and the inspired writers. If we go back again to Ephesians, this time chapter 4, look at what he says in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what is the blueprint that God has provided? Well, here he told us he has provided those as a foundation for the church that was intended to equip those that are living stones, to those that are believers, to those that are the saints. And as he's equipped them for the purpose of carrying on the ministry and building up the body, he wants us to come to a unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. And Jesus has been revealed. And as head of the church, the relationship of the church and how to enter into it. He has designed the blueprint and he has given it to us. You back up to chapter 3 in verse 10. There he says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." God has not left us on our own to know how to come to Jesus. He has not left us on our own to know what the work of our ministry is. He has not left us alone to know how to build up the church. and how to follow after Him and how to recognize the blessedness of being in His kingdom and with this blueprint, just as a master builder today would find great danger if he used more than one blueprint. It is great danger for us in the church today to use any other blueprint but that which God has provided. And what we recognize is, again and again, the role of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is identified not just by Paul in the letter that he wrote to the Church of Christ in Ephesus, but Peter also identifies for us and reminds us that Jesus matters most. He is the chief cornerstone. That means that when we're talking about building a foundation, we start with Jesus. When we're talking about building a building, a spiritual house that's going to give honor to God and is going to fulfill that which God calls us to do, to praise and honor Him, to take that Word and reveal it and share it so that God might get the glory. Today, to be individuals that challenge Satan in the dominion that he has in this world, to tell individuals about God and to help them escape the life that is connected to this world and the emptiness that is connected to this world and the damnation that is connected to being people of the world instead of people of God, that it begins with Jesus. And as it begins with Jesus, that's where we build. And that's who we follow. And that's the direction that we have in our life. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When Paul was addressing the church there in Corinth and encouraging them to stay true to the things of God, he reminds them here in this chapter, in verse 10, of the importance of building the church. The church had become divided to where there were some that were paying attention to the teachings of Apollos and paying attention to the teachings of Paul. And they were choosing sides, and he's rebuking them for this, in saying that there should not be any division or competition, that we are all building on the foundation. And there is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. This is how he puts it. In verse 9, he says, "We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is built, that which is Jesus Christ." That Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. That means that's where we start. That's what we build off of. And in the church today, I would tell you, there is no greater importance than recognize that this church belongs to Christ. That this church is built as Him as the head. So we follow the teachings of Christ. We follow the teachings of those that are dedicated to Christ. And in doing that, we worship Him in ways in which are laid out. Jesus, Peter reminds us, was rejected. Why was He rejected? Because the people wanted to be people of the world. They didn't want to be people of God. And as they rejected Him, He reminds us that God chose Jesus. That Jesus was precious. And no greater demonstration of how precious He was as you see His blood compared to a precious lamb. And His precious blood, which is available to all men, to all women, to all those that choose to reject the world and be people of God. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, that's our foundation. For Isaiah said, "Therefore says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And whoever believes will not act hastily." You ever been in a place of safety and you began thinking, "I don't belong here"? Kind of like somebody saying a tornado's coming. You make the decision, the best thing for me to do is stay in my car and I think I'll get under this bridge. That's not a good choice. That bridge ain't going to beat that tornado. That tornado is going to fall. When you're able to stand on Jesus Christ, the rock, when you're able to be there, there is no reason to leave. That's where we need to stay and put our trust And that's where we need to stay and be loyal and be there for God to take care of us and protect. I don't particularly know if it was Ron or Cindy that took this picture. I know it came out of their camera, and you may not can see it well, but I will tell you right there is an incredible mound of rocks. And that mound didn't bother me near as much as that mound right over there. Because you see, here is the wall and the foundation of a physical building that's going to become a church for the brethren in San Miguel. And these rocks right over here, it seemed like every time a truck dumped them, they needed to be moved somewhere along this wall right here. So these didn't bother me, that pile did. And that may be the fourth or the fifth pile that came around. And eventually, those rocks found their way to be part of this foundation right here. I want you to be mindful that when it comes to this spiritual house, God's not through building. We are part of a body that many people that came before us made sacrifices and choices that, well, they lived in this community. And in this community, they chose not to be people of the world. They chose to be people of God. And we're building on their foundation. Every time one looks at Calvary and makes a choice to become a living stone, they're added to this foundation. They become part of this spiritual house. And the reason that I wanted you to see that stack of rocks there is it was amazing how that some of those that were doing the building and helping the foundation and laying with mortar and blending them in, they'd take those rocks that we would bring and they would stack it on top of the foundation and they would add another. But there were times as you got to a certain point that they would take that rock and what they would do is they would bust it, hit it. And in hitting it, it broke it into different pieces. They were shaping that rock so that it would fit right above the others, and it was a place where that particular rock belonged. No matter your age, no matter how long you've been part of the family of God, God will put you right where you belong. And He'll put you as part of His building, His spiritual house. And what He wants from you is to do the work of the church. Is spiritually. You notice where Peter said in this that we've become a holy priesthood? You know what we usually say to you about your role in the church? That you're to go out and teach. And that you're to go out and share the gospel. You are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And that you are a people that must bring others to Him. And they must be baptized to where they become people of God, not people of the world. Peter here doesn't say that our spiritual house is made up of teachers and preachers. Though he could. He says you're a holy priesthood. What did a priest do? A priest offered up sacrifices, didn't he? That's what you do. We forget that. How do you offer up sacrifices to God as part of this chosen generation, this special priesthood that's part of the people of God? You offer up sacrifices. Paul will say in Romans 12 that we give sacrifices with our body. We keep our bodies clean and they are dedicated because they belong to God. Later he'll remind us that our bodies, that's where God dwells, that we are the temple and so that we ought to be clean and we ought to be honest that our teaching and our behavior, it matches up. The Hebrew writer will say, we offer up sacrifices and praise with lips of praise. And so others hear us honor God and magnify God. What is your sacrifices like today? As He has made you a living stone. Now, you notice that phrase where He says, coming to Him. Coming to Him. We're fixing to sing a song to where we're going to invite you to come to Him. But I don't think that's what Peter's talking about there. Peter's talking about Jesus is alive. He's head of the church. And He gives us access to God. And as a people, we should not only be offering up sacrifices, but other people see our lives, see our choices, recognize we are the people of God, and we want to do what we can for them. Even as an unbeliever, we want to do what we can for them. And so we pray for those that are in the household, but we also pray for unbelievers. We do good deeds for those that are in the household, but we do good deeds for those that are unbelievers. We are God's people. And they see how we live before Him. We're chosen by God. We're called by God. And we are loved by God. And so they see our life. that we fit in with Him and we belong. And when they see that, they see a confident life that knows our place. And our place is with the rock. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And we become a living stone for others that need to see Jesus Christ. Now, what does He mean when He says coming to Him? Look at verse 2. When you look at verse 2, He earlier had said that we ought to be a people that lay aside all this behavior that is contagious by the world. This hypocrisy that so easily gets in, deceitfulness and envy and evil speaking, and we set all that aside, and here's what our behavior is. We're like newborn babes. We desire the pure milk of the Word so that we can grow. And we know that we have tasted forgiveness. We have tasted that which God offers in Jesus Christ. We have made the choice to be His people. And so every day we need the Word of God. Every day we need to see ourselves for who God looking at us. And when He looks at us, He is looking at us for a people that want to please Him and follow His way and follow His commandments and follow His way of life. That's why the Word of God is so important. Coming to Him. We cannot come to God except through Jesus Christ. And when we come to Him, we live for Him. And we follow His Word and we hold up the banner of the cross. May you be a living stone for Jesus Christ. May God dwell with you because of your choice to be His people and to sacrifice your lives and to sacrifice your choices and to pull away from the people of this world and look for Jesus coming again. That doesn't mean that we don't want you to come this morning and be baptized into His new life, this new creature, to begin a newness of life that follows a dedication to Him. And by doing that, God will shape you and add you to His foundation, and you'll be part of His spiritual house. Repent if you're in sin. Repent if you've been walking your own selfish ways and have found yourself to drift back to the ways of the world. Come to Him and recognize that today is your day of salvation. Can we help you do that? Won't you come while together we sing with Jonathan?